Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Open your hearts, loosen your butts. It's time for couples therapy.
Woo!
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new Jubu. They gon' talk about it, yeah, you are invited, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's couples therapy, couples therapy.
Hey everyone, welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Andy.
And I am Naomi.
And we are a real life couple.
A real life couple of comedians.
And on the show, we bring you the best sets from our live show where we have comics who are close do sets together about the relationship. And I say that because this episode,
we got sets.
We have the final couple sets from the before times.
Yes.
And I'm very excited because I loved these shows. These are from our February and March shows.
Yes.
If you remember those months, which were about 17 or 18 years ago.
Right. Those are the months when anything seemed possible. Anything, everything. Mm-hmm. The world was open to us all.
Yeah. So many people on Twitter using that joke, but just different variations of that joke.
Yeah.
It's like, we get it, folks. We get it. Every day feels like a million years. We get it. Find a new joke.
Find, I don't know. It's never going to get old for me.
Oh, that's what I do on Twitter, Naomi. I tweet at people. I go, find a new joke.
Wow, that's cool. That's cool and popular and good.
Oh, God. You would, if I was really that guy, you would never have been with me place.
Oh, God, no. But I think I still like you. Nothing like being in quar with somebody for four goddamn months to help you, you know, solidify your feelings.
Yeah, really. Like, you're like, oh, I do. You know, I've been around this person 24/7. It's terrible, but I still love them. So,
right.
Okay.
Like, bored as hell, nothing to do, no way to be distracted.
Antsy as fuck.
And just like, you know what? You still cute. And that's what matters. But at least this week, you guys, we're coming to you with huge news, though.
Huge
this
news.
This week, we did something out in the world. Yeah. We went out into the world. We went to the nearby drive-in.
By nearby, we, of course, mean 45 minutes away.
Honey, we got all the time in the world. We did it.
And guess what? Drive-ins suck.
He keeps saying that, but I thought it was wonderful. I loved
because
it.
Because it's called Stockholm Syndrome, Naomi. If someone has you kidnapped and stuck in a room for 3 months, and then they bring in an iPad with like iCarly loaded onto it, you're going to be like, oh my God, this iPad full of iCarly episodes is the fucking best thing that Western civilization has ever produced.
I feel like I watched that episode on Investigation Discovery. Something about a woman being locked for 3 months
in a basement.
iPad.
She definitely she saw it, and it was like, you know, an episode of The Single Guy, which was a sitcom that was on for a season or two in the 90s, I think.
Thank you for clarifying.
Jonathan Silverman and Ming-Na.
Cool. Andy, the drive-in is actually my preferred. First of all, we parked too far away. I wanted to get closer so at least we could have more of a screen experience.
Yeah, we drove 45 minutes away, stayed in a long line, and then eventually got through. And then I just parked wherever.
I know. There's no pressure. But I'm saying, first of all, that's actually the perfect way to watch movies. I don't have to sit next to a stranger. I don't have to worry about there being bed bugs in the seat. Mm-hmm. I could eat a full-on panini press.
Which is what we did.
And talk during a movie about how I do not respect Kevin James.
We saw Becky, by the way.
That's a movie where Kevin James plays a Nazi.
What if we were just watching anything?
Convict.
We were watching anything. We were watching like Groundhog Day, and you just spent the entire time complaining about Kevin James.
I'll take any excuse. any excuse, any comedy. You know who thinks he does comedy? Kevin James.
God, this Groundhog's Day is such a good movie. You know what would make it terrible? Putting Kevin James in as the lead instead of Bill Murray.
But it was like, it was a short, like, it's like, you know. Like,
by the way, I'm going to break with you. I don't have a problem with Kevin James.
That's good. I'm happy for you. You don't have to. We don't have to agree on every. We don't have to hate all the same things. Mm-hmm. Normally we do. And that's pretty much, you know, a big part of what bonds us. But I'll allow it. You know what I mean? I also like don't hate. Hate is a strong word. I just am like, I just am like, not here for mediocrity and people and like mediocre millionaires. You know what I mean? Like mediocre millionaires really, really upset me.
Right.
And so
personally, as a you know, a Bernie stan, it's mediocre billionaires that bother me.
Wow. Even lower. I don't like the millionaires. I don't like the billionaires.
Yeah. But we're on the same page.
But you didn't have fun. You didn't enjoy that. Like, I was like, literally, I don't have to be next to another person except for the man I love. And we can eat chips and sandwiches.
Or Skittles, in my case. Here's the thing, gentle listeners, about drive-ins. Now, this isn't like the 1950s where you drove up to a, you know, a post and yes. you put like a sound thing. What was
yes,
that?
Yes, I know. It was like a little like transmitter, yeah, I guess.
In your yeah. car. You have to turn your radio on and tune it to a certain... certain band on the FM spectrum, right?
You make it sound so complicated. You use your car radio. You have to turn it to a band on the FM spectrum.
This isn't your daddy's driving. It's your daughter's driving. So we... So the entire time, I would say conservatively for about two-thirds of the movie, I sat there Googling how long until your car battery runs out. Because right. we don't know. You know. This is the first car we've ever had. I don't know anything about the batteries. I barely know yeah. how the car functions.
I know. I mean, honestly, me neither. So I get it. But and right.
I'm just
like,
sweating.
We...
I'm just like, what happens if the car battery runs out? I don't know what to do. It's a hybrid. Is that different? Can we jump it? Whatever that even means. I don't have jumper cables.
Can we jump it?
Yeah, there's jumper cables. Yeah, I know those exist. I don't know how it works. I know you hook it up to someone else's thing. And now it's COVID times. I don't want to get near another person.
I know.
So I don't want to, if the car runs out of juice and we have to, and it is possible to use jumper cables, I don't want to have to talk to another person, get near them just to do it. There's, Naomi, that's all that was going through my head. I could right. not concentrate on Becky, the 13-year-old titular character right. of Becky, attacking the neo-Nazis.
Right. Honestly... I've never felt more relaxed. I'm kidding. No, I felt that too. I was worried too because I was like, but I was also like, I mean, no one would be at the drive-in if you couldn't keep your car on. I don't believe that many people own their own portable FM radios. And you know what I mean? So I was like, no, they can't be. And like, I don't know. Most of the stuff was off in the car. I was like, I can handle playing the radio for 90 minutes.
How do you know?
I don't know. Listeners. I just trusted and believed. Listeners, okay. I had to trust and believe.
If you know anything about cars, if you know anything about
drive-ins, if you know anything about
batteries,
FM, the FM radio spectrum,
please, please let us know if it's safe to keep your radio on for 90 minutes.
Or like, do you just have to like have a full tank of gas? Like, let us know. We need that kind of information.
We're dummies.
You guys, we do have three hilarious sets for you. But before we get into those sets. Maybe a housekeeping.
Yeah, we'll save some of the housekeeping for our ads. But I'll tell you this, every Wednesday at 2 p.m. PST, we are putting on a live show for you for free on Twitch at twitch.tv/couplestherapypod. Let me tell you, folks, it is fun AF.
We're having a really fudge. Fun as fudge. Y'all, it's great. We got comedians sometimes. But always me and Andy. I like to rant about what I hate. Andy does bits. Honestly, come join the CTQC, Couples Therapy Quarantine Crew, on Twitch.
Every other show, Naomi allows me to write one late night style bit. As if I was a writer on Conan circa 1998.
Yep.
And it's the same...
And I have the same reaction to it I would to a Conan bit from 1998.
It's the same hit ratio as a bit from Conan in 1998. But you know what? You don't have to tune in anywhere else to get some hilarity because today we got three great sets to you. Naomi, who is this first set from?
Ooh, this first set is from two queens. Y'all, this is Sydney Washington and Zainab Johnson, comedians, actors, friends. You've seen Zainab on the new show Upload on Amazon. You know Sydney from her podcast, Unofficial Expert on Forever Dog, and her IG show, Cooking with Sid. Get ready for these two. Yes. I love it.
From our March show, roll it.
Hello, hello. Hey, we're kind of matching, right? A little bit? Sure. Wow. Shade up top. Wow. Every time I do this, Naomi, my partner shades me quick. Okay, that's where we start.
You know what it is? She tried the line out before we got on stage, and I negated it then. So the fact that it made it up here, I'm surprised. That's all.
Well, I was in the back. I was like, we got leather jackets on.
That's not what you said. Then that's a fact, right?
Yeah.
But it's, besides that, it's like not the same at all.
Okay. Well, they're both great. We both look amazing. So the crowd will agree on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hi, Sydney.
Hi, Zainab.
I don't know how long we've been friends.
7 years to be exact.
Okay.
That's now, what kind of relationship we have. I'm the obsessed one, so.
I really love Sydney. Sydney, can I say you have anxiety? Is that okay?
Yes, yes.
So I feel it like radiating off of her right now.
No. Not at all. I'm on meds right now. I'm good. I'm actually quite calm. Thank you. Well, you know what it is. Okay, so like I met Zainab through another comedian, Will Savince, and I was barking outside of a comedy club.
I remember that. In New York.
In New York.
You guys know what barking is, right? You guys have watched Crashing on HBO?
Right. That's a good reference, yes.
But no one has watched it.
Okay,
so,
great. Okay.
They got really quiet. They're like, no, what is that? Who, Pete Holmes, what? I don't know. Okay.
They're like, HBO, yeah, we know that. So I'm like outside, like selling the club to strangers on the street, and this goddess comes. She has no hair, bald.
Oh, just I was bald as fuck.
Stunning. Just what? Amazonian, just shoulders, clavicles, everything.
And I wish I had them out tonight.
What?
My shoulders and my clavicle.
Oh, follow her on Instagram. And then go back like 74 weeks. That's when she had her clavicles out. But she's walking down the street and Will's like, do you know Zainab? She's a comedian too. And I was like, there's no way she's a comedian. She looks incredible.
That's so nice of her, right?
And at the time I had forgot that I looked incredible too. I was like, I'm also a comedian, but wow, Zainab.
I knew this story was getting to you looking incredible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was waiting for you to say,
but you know, that was one of my first thoughts, not to be like, oh my God, black girls are great and we rock and we're beautiful, but we are.
Yeah.
But I did think that, like, I didn't think there's no way you could be a comedian because that's just, oh, you know, that's just like an old way, right? Like,
yeah.
But I did think, wow, that's such a beautiful girl. That's what I thought. And then I didn't think about you at all after that.
Oh, okay. I went straight to YouTube. I was like, oh my God, let me see her stand up. And it was perfect.
Can I tell them the story about, I know you want to tell this story.
No.
But she wants me to bring it up. So she wants to tell it so bad, need to give her permission.
No, go.
The avocado story, right? Don't
yeah.
you want
to? Oh, tell she wants the story. Ooh, are you not into avocados, miss? Oh yeah, you got to hear the story. It's a really, I want you to be enthused about it.
Okay, let me start by saying this.
Zainab is like the most, she is a queen. She is so bougie. She has like nice sheets. Like she's top shelf, top of the line adult. My like most adulting friend. Okay, go. Tell him.
Let me start by saying this.
Yeah.
You guys ever have a restaurant, it's like your go-to place, You like, when my friends come to town, I'm going to take them to that place.
Yeah.
This place always does shit right and good. And anybody that comes to visit, we going to that place. And then you take your friends to that place, and that's the day your place decides to fuck shit up.
Yes.
Yeah.
So as a very nice gesture, I take Sydney and another friend of ours, Marie, yeah, who also lives in New York. I'm like, yo, let's go to this breakfast place, right?
Are we going to shout them out?
What's the name? I forgot. See, I ain't been back since. So
that's true.
You did. What's the name of the place?
Was Jam?
Blue Jam.
Blue Jam.
Everybody knows Blue Jam,
we're
right?
We're shouting it out. Okay, you guys know.
So y'all going to know this motherfucking story.
Okay. Tell them.
So I say to them, because as Sydney told y'all earlier, they be broke. So
wait, me be broke? Or?
Well, you just talked about me having nice sheets, so no. I just assume, we all assume you don't. So,
Naomi, how much time do we have? Wow.
So, you know, I'm a read in between the lines type of person.
I'm financially unstable, but I'm physically wealthy. So,
okay,
let's get it right.
So, me being a person who is now in LA, you know, and comfortable, I'm like, let me take my friends for breakfast, my treat, and I say it. Right, I
up
say
top.
My tree, because you know they the type that's gonna be like, yeah, we going, but is she playing? Do you know if she playing?
No,
like,
that's a lie. Zaynab, you're gonna sit up here. And
no,
tell
let
these
me tell you. Let
lies?
Me tell you who they are. Let me tell you who they are.
Oh,
if they think
wow.
they paying, they ordering regular subpar shit. But then, then wait. When you pay the bill, they like, okay, can I see the menu one more time?
Wait. Okay, this is Blue Jam. This is not the Carlisle. Like, what
no,
are you talking
but
about?
We're just talking about your behavior.
Oh, okay. Yes, she's right then. She's right. That's factual, actually.
Long story short, they get what they get, and they're enjoying it. And I order the same thing every single time I go. I'm a very picky eater. But I also feel like if I'm going out and paying for it, it should be right. That's just how I feel, right? Because if it's not, I could just stay at home and make it not right for myself.
I used to be a waitress. This is aggressive. This is triggering. I don't know. I don't, like, and the tone is just.
She, is
no,
she?
No, you need to stay
but
home.
But this is
yeah.
how.
Yeah, you do. Absolutely.
This is how picky I know I am. When I greet a server, you guys like being called servers?
Sure. Sure, Zaynab.
I mean, you just said it. I'm just capitalizing on what
I said, waitress.
Oh, well, I upped your status.
Oh. The woman in the front said no. So, and she's got a nice swoopy bang, so I'm with her.
Well, when I see a waitress, I always say, how are you? I make sure that they feel seen. And then...
I'm going to head out. That is...
And then, because I know I'm about to be changing shit and asking for shit, I say, okay. I'm gonna change a couple of things. I let you know. I put a disclaimer out so you could take a breath and get ready for me. It's no surprises. Anyway, I order the same thing. I always order an egg white scramble with like spinach, jalapeno, maybe mushrooms. And I always say, can I have the avocado on the side? Because they do the dumb shit. They cook the avocado in the motherfucking...
Everyone in the back is like, yeah.
No,
what's wrong with
no,
that?
No, nobody's saying that. They just like,
oh, you
no,
are?
Nobody,
oh.
No.
Oh, this is not my demo. So
yeah, see,
that's
yeah.
what that is. I can't relate to this crowd.
Yeah, no.
I'm not
yeah.
hitting right tonight.
No, avocado, you can't do shit to avocado but eat it and put a little bit of lemon on. That's all you could do to avocado. They cook the shit, so I always say, could you put it on the side, right? So... I feel like if somebody asks for a side of avocado, what do? You open up the avocado, you slice a little bit, you put it on the side, right? That seemed easy to me. But again, I've never been a waitress. You know, some shit just ain't rocket science. I'm like, what is hard about? I'd rather just slice the avocado than have an argument with a patron. You know what I'm saying? Like, just that seems very easy to me.
The waitress actually doesn't make the food. That's the chef. So
I'm sure Blue Jam, they ain't got no chef. But
leave that in there.
So they bring me. How did they bring me to avocado? How did, like, tell it from your perspective, because you was dying inside.
Yes. They put it in a little ramekin, and it was, like, mushed up.
Hold on a second. The fact that y'all had that reaction lets me know we don't even have to tell no more of the story.
Yeah. It was
that's
mushed
not
up.
Even no picky shit, right? Yeah. That's just, like, what you expect me to do with this?
Yeah.
I didn't ask for unflavored guacamole.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. It was, yeah.
So I'm like, you see how we was like, ugh. I didn't even do that. I said, excuse me.
Oh, no. Excuse me. It was in your face. It wasn't in your voice. It was in your face. Like, oh, you didn't got something fucked up. Let me come on over here real sec. Yeah.
Honestly, I was surprised because I go there so often. I was so surprised. I'm like, on a day that we got company, why y'all bringing out smashed avocado?
Listen, I had ordered like French toast or whatever. I couldn't even eat my French toast. Like, it was ruined. The whole scenario messed everything up.
I felt so bad. Let's finish. Let's finish. What
okay.
Happened.
So
I punched the waiter in the face. No, I'm
no,
kidding.
No.
I'm
kidding. So no, you go. You do it. This year.
Because I like to hear it from like the out. You know, I like to see any. Okay. So I said, could you? I said I asked for it on the side, and so I think the waiter may have said, oh, that is on the side. And so I know you saying, oh, waiters don't do shit. See, waiters, what his response should have been was, let me check on that for you, right? Oh, I'm so sorry. What is it? Is this not on the side? Let me understand what it is that you're requesting. He was like, oh, that is on the side.
Yeah, that was your face, for sure. Definitely.
I said, no, I meant like just sliced, like just regular avocado, just like sliced on the side of the plate. That's it. He was like, so he goes, okay. He says, okay, I'll be right back.
It was actually a woman, just.
Oh, was it? It was a woman. The manager was a man.
Yes.
Yes. The manager was a man.
Oh, she let him have it. Yeah. She was cool.
That's why
with
in my
waitress.
Mind I skipped ahead, because the waitress, I didn't give her no problem.
Yeah.
But the manager, she left, right?
Yeah.
And then the manager came back.
Because you were like, I need to speak to the manager.
Well, sometimes you just got to exercise your privilege.
Yeah. It was like she had like a glass of rosé with ice in it, and she was just sifting it like, let me speak to the manager.
But you know what's crazy? All y'all can attest, you don't want to feel that way when you're just trying to have breakfast, right? It's like...
No, the white women are like, yeah, no, we do that. That's... What are you talking... We totally understand what you're saying. Look at them laughing. They're like, she's so funny. She gets us.
So the manager, he comes back, and while I love my LGBTQ plus community,
yes,
sometimes the men, they come with they come ready to fight. You know what I'm saying? It's like the inner woman comes out ready to fight you, and you got to be like, put her back in.
But and I saw your face. He knew what you were about to give, though. That's why he was ready to go toe-to-toe.
He didn't see my face. I was...
He can feel the energy,
face.
Though. Me and Marie didn't even speak. For Marie to not speak, that bitch talked. So, like, she was just, like, looking at the floor, talking to the flies, like...
She actually was just downing her French toast.
Yeah,
Marie didn't give a fuck. She was like, I mean, mine's is good. So.
Yes, she actually... That is fact, yeah.
I don't know. As I've said multiple times up here, I've never been a waitress or a manager of any restaurant.
Okay, brag. Wow. No,
I just feel like certain shit is just so easy. I don't give a fuck. What you want? Sliced avocado? Let's get her some sliced avocado. I don't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? Like,
if it's so easy, you could just do it at home. Yeah,
no, but let me, if I truly worked at a, I would, look, Trader Joe's is on every block. Let me go get this bitch some avocado because she need avocado in her life. Like, who, you know, I'm one of those people, when people do fucked up shit in life, usually I be like, they got to deal with being ugly every day. Let me just let them
wow.
live. Or whatever the
this
affliction
is. Her energy
is.
That she was given at Blue Jam. She's like, ugly manager. Like, no, I get it, but also give me my avocado right.
Just know I'm upfront about this energy. Sydney will say it behind your back.
Naomi, is that true? Wow, you don't even have my back, bitch!
So, wow. So this is where the story gets, this is where it gets intense. The manager says, okay, let me get you that avocado, right? First, he fights with me for a bit,
yes,
right?
He does.
And what I say to him, he said, we always do this. Now, you know, when you go to, see, everybody here been to Blue Gym. That's why y'all looking like, so just so y'all know, when I had the energy, I'm having energy like, maybe I've been living in the Twilight fucking zone this whole time. Because every single time I come here, they just slice the avocado on it. It's such an easy request. So
I just want to wait. Hold on. Are y'all on her team? I just want to hear. Because I can't. Oh. Oh, okay. I get it. All right. Right.
So.
It's because you guys are from L.A. New York, we lucky if our food is clean. Like, this is L.A. energy. Like, oh, it's got to be perfect and sliced and stuff. We in New York, we glad that, like, a rat didn't run over it. So
I'm born and raised in New York, and that's not true. I have the same standards everywhere, which is why I'm no longer allowed in Iowa. I just named a random state.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It seemed inappropriate. So the manager fights with me a little bit, and he goes off and says, okay, I'm going to get you a new side of avocado. And I say, thank you. And I'm thinking our day will continue as regularly scheduled, right? Mm.
Oof.
Don't you know he brought me a new, what did you call it?
Ramekin.
Of smashed avocado. Freshly, hold on a second. Freshly sliced, then diced, then smashed.
Yes.
That means that somebody was like, she just wanted sliced, but fuck it. Let's dice it. Let's smash it. Let's put it in a ramekin. Because we don't want this customer to return.
Yeah. Well, it worked.
Like
it worked. Touché, Blue Jam.
Isn't that insulting for them to do more work to displease you?
Yo, we haven't been out to eat since. I'm telling y'all now.
Sydney doesn't recall, but we did go out to eat again after that, which is why I talked about her anxiety, because we went out to eat at Laurel Hardware here.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
See, I know a bunch, right? We listen. Yeah. We don't listen to her. Just listen to me. No, listen to her. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So
thank you.
I ordered like a fish or something that wasn't very good.
I was like, yo, let's get the check and go now. Let's just go.
Sydney was starving. She ordered mad shit. In the moment, when I taste the fish and I was like, but I wasn't even like, I wasn't urgent or nothing. I just put my fork down. Like, it was, what else is going on, Sydney? She was like, it was like the flashback of like Blue Jam.
That's what I had.
She was like, I'm not even hungry anymore. And I was like, ooh.
Naomi.
I'm with you.
Okay, thank you.
Anyway,
this is our great friendship, and I'm so lucky to be your friend, and obviously I look up to you, and I'm so glad that you answer my FaceTime every time.
You want to go get something to eat?
Yeah, let's do that.
Thank you, guys. Have a good night.
Hey, friends. Just wanted to break in real quick. You don't even have to hit the fast forward 15 seconds because it'll be over this will be, it's like Quicksilver and the Flash having a picnic together. But I want to let you know, we have t-shirts for sale. If you go to couplestherapy.merchnow.com, we've got two designs. One, our new couch logo. Two, the Gotta Miss a Bitch t-shirt. Guys, you know me. You've heard the show before. You know, all I've ever wanted was cool-looking merch. I don't want to exploit the listeners. I want you to be able to buy cool stuff. I don't want to just slap some bullshit on Gildan, which is a type of t-shirt brand, and send you on your merry way. I want you to have cool-looking stuff.
You said they wouldn't have to fast-forward 15 seconds, Andrew.
All right. You know what? Go to couplestherapy.merchnow.com, get some t-shirts. That's about it. Here's the rest of the show. And we're back.
Woo!
Baby. Naomi. How often... She's been on the show... couple times now, right?
Yeah, like 3-4.
Yeah.
With Marie, with Larry, just now on Twitch with Larry.
Yeah.
With Zainab. I want Sid to come around every day.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
I mean, she's so sweet, cheekbones for days, loving her heart. We talk about Wellbutrin. What more could you need from a friend?
Now, we have another set from our March show.
Yes.
This is the last show. This is as the pandemic was dawning.
Mm-hmm.
I remember specifically we were all like looking at each other like, should we shake hands? Can we hug still?
I know, like wiping down the microphone.
Wiping down the mics with disinfectant wipes.
But here we were doing comedy, honey. We were holding on like the band on the Titanic. We said we gotta do one more show. And this next set is perfect. We got friends Patty Harrison and Luke Null.
Love.
You know Luke from SNL. You know Patty from shows like Shrill, I Think You Should Leave, and Search Party. And these two go way, way back. I did not know that. And it was so wonderful to hear.
I did not know that. I was not aware of that. Some weird and wild stuff.
Who's that?
That's my version of Dana Carvey doing Johnny Carson.
Wow. Okay. All right.
Oh, God.
Blessings. Why don't we give
someone help me. Roll it.
How is everyone? That's really nice. That's really nice.
Really excited. This is Patty Harrison is a very good friend of mine. She's been a very good friend of mine since I cast her in college improv in 2009. So
yeah.
We've been friends a long time.
We went to school together. We went to Ohio University in Athens, Ohio. Is anybody...
Any Bobcats in the house?
That's Hillary.
Go Cats. That's cardiac
that's my
cats.
Friend. She's here. That's really cool that you're here. Thank you for being here tonight.
Thank you for being here. It was exciting to me to be able to come up here and tell some stories of shared experiences that we've had, just because I care so much about Patty, and I love Patty so much, and I've seen her grow so much.
Wow, that's really nice. I really love Luke a lot, too. He's very formative in kind of me discovering that I wanted.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
To do comedy, and in Ohio it doesn't really seem like there's a lot of those opportunities. Mm-hmm. Necessarily, or you're kind of, I guess, in the Midwest or more rural areas taught to kind of like downsize your dreams a little bit. Yeah. So
be realistic.
Yeah. And it was cool to meet
We never thought we'd be here in a bar.
Be serious.
And Patty, I know when Patty walked in and to that improv audition, which broken as a concept. When she came in, I went, you know what? This kid has something.
I did. I think I just did an impression of Kristen Wiig doing Bjork on SNL.
And I was like, I just you copied booked it, kid.
Yeah.
You booked
it. But I think like what like three other people did Christopher Walken impressions. So.
People came in locked and loaded.
Yeah.
With the Christopher Walken impressions. And we had to start saying, hey, don't do anything racist. We had to start saying that up top in the auditions. We're like, shouldn't have to say this. We're going to get it out up top. Don't be overtly racist. Really yeah. bury your racism.
But it's Ohio, so it's kind of built on racism. Yeah. So you kind of have to be like, you can't blame them.
It's true. So many fond memories together making art.
Yeah. I think, well, I would say that like, it really was, I went to OU I wanted to design cars, and then I kind of was like, this isn't working. And then I was trying to maybe figure out like a theater major or something, and that wasn't working. But then I started improv, and you were like a census, like geography.
Thank you so much, Patty. Yes, I did graduate from Ohio University with a Bachelor's of Sciences in Geographic Information Systems. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm still paying off that degree. I've never used it. It was a profound waste of money, but not a waste of time because I found my voice.
That's true. I found mine there too, and it was really cool to find our voices together. I didn't know I wanted to do comedy professionally until I went to college and started improv, and it was really interesting because I really think that we had a great college improv troupe. Like I know a lot of people say that, but we were very lucky in that
some of the greats.
Yeah, we had our coach was doing a master's program at in the theater school mm-hmm. where we're from. So he just like really, and he was from Chicago. So it was this mm-hmm. very like organic style of cool improv that was like really, I think, bonded us outside of improv, and it made improv seem so magical and like spiritual and beyond just yes. performing on stage and doing comedy and making jokes.
I think we could there you really let people in.
Yeah.
And I will say we got to be pretty cool on campus.
I think
know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and it was a testament. This is not a joke. Our shows were every Thursday, and we had like 300 people coming to our shows every week in the like mm-hmm. in this giant seminar.
Yeah.
Space. It was really amazing, and yeah. I think it because we were really good.
Yeah,
I think it's okay to say. I think we could probably do some of our trademark
before
OU
we do,
improv.
I'd like to set up some of the other situations. We got a lot of great opportunities from doing improv in college,
yeah.
because of how funny and how keyed in some of our improv scenes, long form improv scenes were. one of our favorite places that we actually got to perform was at the opening of an abandoned mall. And it was in a room that was, I'm going to say, 8 times the size of this room.
You're remembering it wrong because it was not abandoned. There were just only about 3 stores, and then it skyrocketed to close to 6 to 7 stores after that opening.
With the availability for, I'm going to say, 20 stores. So there was a lot of empty stores.
Well, there were a lot of empty stores, mm-hmm. but those empty stores were filled with, you guessed it, rotting furniture.
Rotting furniture.
So where are you going to put that stuff? You know, they needed that space.
Exactly. And then they asked us to perform improv there on handheld mics, which is, that's how you want it to start out.
To their credit, it was handheld mics on stands that was on a stage that was... How big do you think the stage is?
It was much smaller than the stage.
I think the stage that we were performing on was 6 feet by 3 feet.
Uh-huh. It was an impossibility to do improv
it was
comedy on.
It was two different pieces. Mm-hmm. It was like...
That bow in the middle.
What are those? What
risers.
Are, no. No. What do forklifts pick up?
Pallets.
Pallets. So it was like two pallets stacked on top of each other, and then two other pallets stacked on top of mm-hmm. each other, and it was put together. And then the microphones on the stands were placed at the line mm-hmm. of the pallets so that anytime you moved on either side of the stage, it did this. And there was a lot of feedback.
There was zero people watching the show. It felt like The Shining. Like it was like an abandoned like conference room pretty much.
Yeah.
But there was one woman who walked in when we were start the show.
The people that were there, there's like a lot of mall walkers there. And the thing that was really interesting about our school is that there was like, it's in Athens County, mm-hmm. which it might still be one of the poorest county in the United States.
Yeah. A lot of divide between the town and the gown.
It was very, there were like townies, people who had like grown up in Athens, and then there were the college students, which like for the most part, OU Athens is like pretty progressive. So,
it's a blue dot.
There was some tension, but there were a lot of like locals that would walk around. Mm-hmm. And I remember there was one woman who was wearing, she had, was taking a break from walking
sure.
and she was in a full like, not velour, but like a red tracksuit, and it was really fuzzy.
Adidas and tracksuit. Hmm? Just Which adding flavor text to it. Just jumping in.
Well, it was fuzzy, and then so our friend Emily, who was on our team, was like, "Does anybody have a suggestion?" No one has a suggestion, and so she looked at the woman who was sitting, and she was actually sitting kind of facing away from us, and was kind of doing this like.
She wasn't watching us. She was simply resting from her exercise.
Yeah. So our friend Emily was like, fuzzy red pants. We're going to use that as a suggestion, fuzzy red pants.
You're wearing fuzzy red pants. We'll use that.
Yeah. And she pulled her body out of the chair and was like, ugh, and walked away. And then we didn't have an audience. But that was kind of one of our premiere events.
That was a premiere event. And I would say, if we could give you guys a bit of a taste test of where we were at then, just so you guys understand that We were with it.
We were good for a college improv troupe.
For a college improv yeah. troupe, you could describe us as bicoastal.
Yeah.
In Ohio. We were very with it.
Well, could we get a word? Could we maybe get a suggestion of any word at all?
So you're wearing red pants. So we're going to take red pants.
We're not.
Okay, we won't take that.
We're not going to take red pants.
We're not going to take that. So actually, sorry that your suggestion not valid.
Wait, name a place where two people would meet to talk after breaking up.
Mm-hmm. A diner. Okay, I heard a park.
Did someone say pop art? We're not doing that.
An aquarium is being...
I don't want that one.
Okay, not an aquarium. So park, we're going to...
Park. Whoa, do you have any suggestions?
I think I'll go with park.
Okay.
Okay. So, we should probably do this on the mic because they're, yeah. It's part of it. Okay. I'm doing my best to kind of put myself in my 19-year-old brain of when I was doing a long form in college. So this is how I'd usually start a scene.
I'm gay.
I don't care if you're fucking pregnant. Shut the fuck up, bitch. 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 Let me dig the zygote out of you. Let me dig the zygote out of your corpse.
Mind dementia.
We should be fucking. Mind dementia. DT.
Okay, and so this is a part, and then maybe the next 40 minutes we'd be speaking in a patois.
We'd be doing patois.
Yeah.
We would be doing, and here's the thing though, and we would have good form though because we would call the patois back in the next scene.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but this time we'd be babies and then there would be an attacker in the room. Yeah. So, but you know, we had other memories outside of that. How are we on time?
We got time for a nugget of some innocent stories outside of improv.
Yeah,
I
like musical comedy a lot now, and I do it a lot now, and Luke does too.
Absolutely,
he's an amazing singer and musician beyond comedy.
No, you are.
I'm really not. I can only use the computer.
Lots of good hits.
But yeah, I mean,
one of my favorite songs of yours. Because I love your music, especially in college. Patty made this amazing track That's a bit of an earworm, so apologies in advance. and my favorite song of yours was called Top Shelf Diva. If you could maybe sing, if you wouldn't mind, maybe me starting and you taking it over from me.
Okay.
Okay, and it started like, and there was a thumping, droning bass beat behind it, so... She's a top shelf diva. She only drinks the good stuff. She's a top shelf diva. She only drinks the best.
She's a top shelf diva. She only drinks the good stuff. She's a top shelf diva.
Pause.
She only drinks the best. Thank you. Wow. Yeah, I haven't actually sang that song in like 7 years. Luke was very prolific and wrote a lot of songs.
That's
and
true.
So he wrote this one song that was really great, and but it was called Pussy Clap. Mm-hmm. and the thing about Luke that has always been endearing to me and has made him one of my lifelong friends is that we've had so many amazing conversations in his room for growth. And this song was called Pussy Clap, and it was about... women making their pussy claps, and in your 19-year-old brain, he wrote a line that was every pre-op tranny future pussy clap, and I when I came out as trans, he stopped doing the song.
I feel like I stopped doing it.
That's so sweet.
Way before that.
But in my brain, so I would say I'm a narcissist.
That's true.
So to me, time changes around kind of my emotional journey. And I thought that was so sweet.
You were a fundamental part in me learning, changing, and growing, and not writing songs that do and say those kinds of things.
Yeah. But, well, what I will say now as a 29-year-old trans woman to travel back through the tunnel, if I could, to that 19-year-old Luke, I would say, as a pre-op tranny, I think that's an amazing line.
Thank you so much.
Hey, girl, hey, it's Naomi, here to just come in for a second and tell you that we have a Patreon. If you enjoy the show, if you want to support us, you can go to patreon.com/couplestherapypod and you will get 2 bonus episodes a month for the low, low price of $5. I know times are tight, no presh, but if you got it, you want to show some love, hit us up. We have a real fun time on the Patreon, just me, Andy, spilling tea, sitting surrounded by animals. You'll love it.
We spill tea on the page.
We spill tea on the page. All right, I'll let you get back to these hilarious sets. And we're back, you guys. We're back, and you know what else you get this time? You never before have had this experience. A third set!
Third
set! I like that we're on the same page. You guys.
See, guys, look, hold on. Everyone, just so we're clear. Look, I may be the goofier one in public. We are equally goofy, I would say. I would say, Naomi, you are the cooler customer of the two.
Maybe. I mean, I think I'm... No, I think we're equally goofy, but I think it's more like my goofy is a little more basic. You know what I mean? Like, goofy is like a reference to, you know, Dana Carvey doing Johnny Carson.
I was going to say acceptable. You're like, my goofiness is a little more ... acceptable.
Oh, okay. Just a little more... I think
palatable.
Accessible. Maybe.
Love it.
Acceptable.
Love it. So who's this last set from?
This last set is from our dear friends, Nick Turner and Nick Vatterott.
Actual dear friends.
I know. Nick Turner lives near us. What a blessing. You guys.
Yeah, if you find out where we live, you can find out where Nick lives.
Nick and Nick are hosts of the podcast Get Rich Nick, where they try various schemes to make money and talk about it. And this set is definitely one of those times. Get into it.
Roll it.
I didn't notice that you didn't chant one more duo. What the fuck? Why did you want to start this relationship off on a bad foot? I am mad at you. That's different than most of my shows. That's a reverse finally, I have all the power. Where should I put this? Hey, is the, I hopped up here because I wanted the one Dwayne licked. That's a good one.
All right. One more duo. It's a little clunky.
So we're the hosts of Get Rich Nick, and it's our names are Nick. So I guess that's all. That's all I had for that. Get Rich Quick. We do Get Rich Quick schemes every week. A different way to make money quickly. And our names are Nick. I don't know if I said that. But we wanted to talk about a couple of our favorite ways to get rich that we've done. Nick,
yeah.
You haven't talked yet.
There is, I think I mistimed an edible, and I think, yeah.
Can I say my favorite thing about this show, about the way that Naomi and Andy host, is that Naomi stands in the middle of the stage, and Andy stands off to the side. And if that tells me everything about their relationship that I need to know. I imagine at home, Naomi is fully sleeping in the middle of the bed, arms out. Am I right? All right. No, they don't agree. All right, Nicholas.
We went to Tijuana to make some money.
Yeah, we wanted to make some money being drug mules.
Yeah.
So
we read about it. It always goes so great in every movie I ever see. every documentary, drug mule. It was, and it worked out. That's never the last scene. Like those movies, they always start. It's like this is how it all started. Before I ran an empire, becoming the biggest drug cartel man in history. And it never ends. And they never got me. I have so much money and everyone I know is alive.
We didn't know exactly what drugs to get. The bad ones.
Yeah.
That's all we knew.
Do you have any Tylenol?
Nick walked in. So we went to Tijuana and Nick walked into a pharmacy. And they said, "Hi, how can we help you?" And then Nick said, "What do you got?"
Yeah. Yeah, he goes, "What do you need?" He goes, "What do you need?" I go, "What do you got?"
What do you got?
Which is not how doctors work.
Yeah, the Mexican pharmacies do not love Nick's humor.
I just love you going to the doctor. So what's been hurting you? I don't know. Wait, what could hurt me? What are my options?
What are the other patients saying?
Yeah. They're sick? Yeah, I'm sick, sure. Oh, yeah, my fucking knee's all fucked up.
I'll take a coronavirus, please. One coronavirus for me. Yeah, and so we wanted to get some Adderall, and so our big plan was we were going to buy a ton of Adderall, bring it back here, and sell it to you guys tonight. So we did.
The best merch table.
Who wants? They've got our pictures
on. And we're going to be selling some prescription medicine after this show, so... Yeah, we got some knee braces. What else? Snuck in some fruit.
We didn't want to get fucked over, and so we decided immediately we learned that.
We didn't want to get fucked over sneaking drugs back across the border.
Immediately.
Man, I have the worst luck. I was
Mexico
trying to mind
really
my business smuggling.
We found out Adderalls are like $22 a pill, which immediately, that's too much. To start an empire. Yeah. And so
we had enough for half a pill.
We decided to buy one pill and split it. Just to see if it worked.
Yeah.
And then we went and ate 14 tacos and had no idea if it worked or not.
Well, no, we also smoked weed. That was the main reason we don't know if it worked.
And then we got some Micheladas.
Yeah, we drank and we smoked weed, and then we're like, well, I feel great, I guess.
Yeah, I don't feel very productive right now.
Right.
Honestly, I could take a nap.
And then it got to the point of how to bring it back across the border, and I don't know if it was the prescription pills or the weed or the tacos, but
we decided that to just buy one each because we had to smuggle something for the podcast. So we each bought one pill that we were going to attempt to smuggle.
That's the right. That's how you do it. You go and you do a test one, right? Who's any drug smugglers here? Anybody? It's not working. They're not buying it.
Six or seven.
FBI in the van. Go! Let's get out of here! Go! Go! They're on us!
trash it all. They're just smashing bricks.
So my idea was to smuggle mine, because we each had our own approach. My idea was I was going to put it in my pocket and walk across the border.
I thought you were out of your mind.
I don't
that
think
was the craziest thing.
One pill is going to even register in a pat down.
Yeah.
Nick was a little more worried.
I saw a giant thing of mayonnaise in a store, and I was like, what if I put it in the middle of the mayonnaise and just take that across the border? And they would have to stick their hand.
You think a giant thing of mayonnaise is like what is at Costco? This thing was like six times the size.
Yeah. And as it was a great deal for mayonnaise. It's like 4 pesos for the
this mayonnaise. Like when they're out of mayonnaise, fully have to stick your whole arm in the mayonnaise.
Like a worm, there's another jar. There's a regular size jar of mayonnaise in the bottom of the mayonnaise. That's how big it is. That's like the prize. Does your mayonnaise have prizes? How come they only do that with cereal? There should be prizes.
Does your mayonnaise,
in my mayonnaise
have a squeeze bottle in the bottom?
Oh, look, it's a whistle.
So then,
when you finish the mayonnaise, there's a whistle.
So then, what's your plan?
So that was the plan, to go buy the mayonnaise, and then also he was gonna be like, because I was like, if he's like, why do you have a mayonnaise? I was gonna say I was a YouTuber.
What was your plan with the mayonnaise and the pill?
Wait, what? Well,
you were gonna stick the pill in the mayonnaise
in the middle of the mayonnaise.
You missed that part.
Yeah, open it up. Pill goes middle of the mayonnaise, and then if he was just like, why you got this mayonnaise? I'll be like, I was a YouTuber. And my plan was, I wanted him to do a video, I'm one of those YouTuber assholes, and then I wanted to make
those real pricks.
Yeah, those real pieces of shit.
I have no respect for what I do. I respect the art of stand-up comedy. You really got to tread the boards. You hit Chicago, then you go to New York. You really learn your craft. Then you come to L.A., then you smuggle pills through mayonnaise. Sorry, that's just me, but I'm a YouTube fuckwad. A real bottom-of-the-barrel sucktard. Sorry, it was a little backstory.
Nick loves these guys, and I just wanted to do a video and be like, oh, what's up, everybody? Because that's how everyone starts like that. What's up? So my wife asked me to go get some mayonnaise, so I went and got some. I didn't tell her it was in Tijuana. Wife, I love you, but you just got YouTubed. And that would be my excuse for smuggling drugs. That was my cover for sneaking this mayonnaise in. But the mayonnaise store was closed.
This guy would have beaten you to death way before the video ended. I don't need this. You're done. But I thought that Nick's biggest problem was that he wanted to stick the pill. He wanted to take the pill out of the bag because he thought the bag would be suspicious. If someone had fully looked through the mayonnaise, found one pill,
he'd be like,
my one question is, why is it in a tiny bag?
Just one loose pill in the mayonnaise? The bag is going to give it away. If you find a bag in mayonnaise, that gives it away.
The pill,
you're like, there's probably a pill in this bag.
Would immediately dissolve. And then whenever you have like some writing to do, you have to make 1,000 sandwiches. Just to catch a little buzz.
That's my Adderall. I'm trying to study.
Nick, you got all your work done, but these pages are ruined. There's mayonnaise everywhere.
So that was an episode we did.
Do you want to talk about Price is Right?
Yeah, that's all right.
So we had an idea. The most foolproof idea to make money yet was to be a guest on The Price is Right. There's nothing more easy to make money at. So Nick had a roommate. A roommate?
My old roommate from college. Guy I've known since high school and grade school. Got on The Price is Right when he first moved out here. And then we did an episode where we asked, how did you get on? What do you think you did that got you on?
Yeah, so he was like a Midwest musician. And that's what he said. Because they don't want L.A. pieces of shit. They don't want YouTube fucknots jamming up their mayonnaise.
In the interview, they're like, so what do you do? What's up, everybody? Is that how you're going to talk?
All right, he told us the story, and so we got some tips about just to be personable and not say you live in L.A. And then we get to the studio, but Nick works on the lot of The Price is Right for a show that actually tapes on the stage of The Price is Right. He's the head writer for The Price is Right.
What if, here's a pitch, $7.
No, it's a comedy show. I don't know why he doesn't want to say it, but...
I work at Real Time.
Yes. Real Time with Bill Maher. Maher.
It's Bill.
Right.
It's right on the line. I can't win. I can't win anything because that's like the one thing.
So we're all
Which,
worried.
By the way, yeah. I don't know. I just...
Everywhere we go...
I just loved it. Like, I know you didn't want to get political, no. But...
here we go.
Let's not do it. All right, let's just get it. The Price is Right. I just love that if you're a cameraman at The Price is Right, you can't do The Price is Right. But then, like,
yeah, because you had it too good, like, for too long.
Yeah, Trump can be like, my daughter's in charge of all the libraries.
Too political. Yeah. This is a Trump crowd. If I know anyone. So we're just, everywhere we go, they're like, do you know anyone who works at The Price is Right? Do you know anyone who works at CBS? Do you know anyone who works at television? Anyone with a television. And then every time I'm going to be like, no, what's TV? I thought this was a Broadway show. And so Nick is like really worried about getting on.
I'm afraid to get on.
Yeah, so we go to our interview.
I can't get on.
He can't get on.
I'm doing everything I can.
He's like worried he's going to get fired if he gets on The Price is
Right. I'm thinking they're going to kill me.
So
take my shoes and then eat my lunch.
So we go. So we go up to the. We do the interview and then they ask you. They say hi. What do you do for a living?
Yeah, and I just want to be the most like a off-putting person in the world, so that there's no way I can get picked. And I'm just like, I don't do anything.
He says, I don't do anything.
The worst answer you
and
can
then
give.
They go,
to what do you do?
Okay. And then they turn to me. And then
wait, hold on real quick. She goes, you're doing this? As if like she's like, this guy's not going to fucking go play in traffic after this.
Because like, oh,
he's just
this
like,
is this
you got out of bed today.
One time
yeah,
out of the house.
Give him pamphlets.
I love you. And then
I did get one of these like, okay.
So while this is happening, I think I'm fucked because no one's going to put the guy who knows that guy on. So she turns to me and I was like, first off, I want to say I am sorry for bringing him. That guy sucks and we're done. And then she asked me what I do for a living and I said very confidently, I am a karaoke host from Richmond, Virginia. And she loved that. And then she asked me what my favorite game was and I said Plinko and I couldn't think of another game. I don't know. And then I said...
They all say
she
Plinko.
Was so disappointed and I was like, I know that's basic. And then she liked that, I think. And then
what they call in the industry personality.
I had some personality. So then we went in. We got in.
You know what they call not a serial killer.
Yes. So we got in, and then as soon as we get in there, everyone's dancing, and I'm like, I can't dance. I'm not dancing for this. I'm not standing in the aisle dancing.
But I started tickling him, and it looked like dancing.
And then, I guess we got to wrap it up because we got the light.
It's your call. It's what not, you want to say?
Yeah. It's so I was the second person picked.
I
got picked.
How amazing is that? He got to come on down.
Hey, so I got my Nicholas Turner come on down. No nicknames. And then I played a game for a bunch of shoes, and I guessed right, and then I got up, and then I won.
Men's driving shoes.
I won the showcase.
You know how sometimes you're like, I can't fucking get... Oh, I don't have my driving shoes on. That's why I'm not... That's why I've been in the driveway for an hour.
Yes. Only Prada has driving shoes. There's no Skechers driving shoes. And then I played some dice game. Long story short, I won a 2020 Honda HR-V LX.
AKA a new car!
A new car! And then as soon as I won, they put me in a corner and said, stand here for 20 minutes. So I won a car, and then I stood there in a dark corner, just being like, holy shit! I want a car. And then
that's
there was
so funny. If you win a new car, that's like the most surreal thing. And you would probably be like, oh my God, they could put you in a broom closet and lock the door. And you'd be like, uh-huh, yeah. And then you'd be like, at what point would you be like, what?
There was like a CBS page there. And then I yelled, I was like, hey, I had to, I had a flat tire on the way here. And I was like, it was perfect. I got a car. And I was like, here's funny. I got a flat tire on the way here. And then the woman just coldly stared at me and said, you don't get the car today. But I was like, this is fun. We got to get the hell out.
All right. Check out the episodes. When are they? Yeah. Oh, I don't know. They are coming out. Weeks. They're coming out at the end of the month. And the whole story goes on. Nick Turner is very funny. Give it up for him. Give it up for your host. All right. Thanks so much.
Hey, Naomi.
Andy.
This was our first independent episode with sets.
Yep.
From the live show. Mm-hmm. And also the last.
Oh,
We might put out the Twitch ones with guests as bonus episodes. But the,
yeah. Because, I mean, those are fun.
They're
times.
Fun, but they're not, you know, they're not tight. We're
all goofing and loosing. But I think you can always, like, edit the sets up a little bit, you know. But anyway, we'll decide.
You tell us if you want them. Do you want extra content?
Even though the audio might be Funky Town, you let us know.
Yeah, because we play that song Funky Town underneath them.
Yeah, yeah.
Underneath
that, the whole set. Yeah, every single set. Yeah, the whole time. Won't you take me to Funky Town? You guys, I have to go take Andy to Funky Town. So we're going to go. But thank you so much for listening to this episode. And we will see you
Naomi
next week.
Holding a baseball bat as she says that.
We're going to Funky Town. You wanted it so bad, we're going. Okay, guys. See you next week.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.